Hi guys, welcome back to This Is Life Unfiltered. I'm your host, Alexa Curtis, and today I've got a special guest on because I've been wanting to focus more on people in the community who are doing incredible things. Because as awesome as it is to interview celebrities and influencers with huge followers, there's so many people, myself included, who don't necessarily fit into that category and have an incredible message and a really awesome voice. So before I get into this episode, make sure you guys follow This Is Life Unfiltered on social media at This Is Life Podcast. And also my personal Instagram is @Alexa_Curtis. And my new show on Radio Disney airs every Friday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time called Fearless Every Day. This week, I've got on a special guest, Lindsay Sterling. I don't know if you guys know who she is, but she's pretty badass. She's got tons of Instagram followers. She has an incredible story. She had an eating disorder. She's like a girl you guys should totally check out. So make sure to listen to her episode Friday on Radio Disney or iHeartRadio at 9 p.m. But today I've got Devin Bushy on, and I actually had him on much earlier this year before the Disney show started. And unfortunately, I had talked about some touchy things in his episode and had to take it down. So I'm bringing him back on now, which is actually a perfect time because I've been talking a lot about college. I've been getting a ton of feedback from you guys, whether it's talking about real things like in between high school and college or being in college and not knowing what to do. He turns 23 by the time this episode airs. He will have turned 23 and he's living right now in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is quite close to where I'm originally from in Connecticut. And he has a book that just came out. He has a cool podcast. You guys might have seen me on it called This Is It. But he's going to talk to me and you guys about college and life and being a young adult nowadays. So Devin, thanks for coming back on This Is Life Unfiltered.
Oh, thanks, Alexa, for having me on for the second time.
I know. I'm excited because last time I'd gotten such good feedback, too, on your episode, and then I had to take it down. But it's okay because now you've got all these new projects and you're working on so much new stuff. So tell us and everyone about what you're working on and your background.
Oh, yeah. So, well, my name's Devin. I'm 23. Well, we'll be 23 at this point. And I'm from Springfield, Mass. I am a full-time college student. I'm in my last semester, so I graduate in December at Westfield State University in Westfield, Mass. And I run a podcast, like you said, called This Is It. Your podcast actually inspired me to start my own, along with a couple others. I wrote a book called UOU, The Start of Something. Basically, it's inspired by people from Springfield to really show them that they can actually achieve anything they want to achieve, that an area code or a neighborhood or your environment doesn't really dictate who you are, that your actions and your choices do. And I have a short film that I'm working on that we're going to be shooting actually in Springfield sometime early next year in March, April, May. That is called Magazine, and I'm working on a documentary as well.
Wow. So you're pretty much doing everything for 23 and you're in college, right?
Yes. I'm currently in college. I'm a psychology student and this is my last semester.
All right. So right off the bat there, you're doing a ton of different stuff. So I'm super curious how you balance it all because I don't think I could do that if I was in college. But I'm most interested, you're studying psychology, but you're not really pursuing that with your life, right?
Yeah, that's actually pretty accurate. The reason why I chose psychology was because I was at a point in my life where I went to a couple of different colleges. I first started out at a community college and I graduated from there with my associate's degree. I went there for 2 years and then I transferred to University of Massachusetts at Amherst and I was there for a year, but it was too big and I didn't really feel that comfortable. So I decided to leave and then I went to Westfield State for a year and then now this semester as well. But when I was at UMass, they asked me what I wanted to do as a major because I went in undeclared, undecided, but I also already graduated with a bachelor's degree in liberal arts. And when I was there, I didn't really know what I wanted. I was thinking about doing biology and becoming like a physician's assistant and going some pre-med track. And then I was like, maybe I want to do politics and continue with like, you know, trying to be a voice for people in the community. And I was like super unsure. And then I really enjoyed in my community college, I took a lot of psychology classes. And I really enjoyed the aspect of trying to understand like the human brain and how it works and how it reacts to emotions and other people in different situations and all that kind of stuff. So I thought about just going into psychology because I did some research behind it, and it's actually a really broad field that you could go into marketing and business, or you could go the the counseling route and become a doctor and become a psychologist and therapist and all that kind of stuff. And then you could do everything in between, you know, work in a school system as a counselor and that kind of thing. So I felt like it was broad enough where I was still unsure what I wanted to do. But, I've gone this far as a psychology major, so I was like, might as well see it out. But I find it super interesting because the things that I'm actually learning in the classroom, I'm applying it to like not only the podcast as a way to like market and bring people on, but also through the writing of scripts and through documentaries and how to tell stories accurately, because it all is psychology. It's all how we balance and how we take in the information that's presented to us. And it's also fun to kind of use people's emotions in the writing of the scripts to maybe have a different outcome.
I like that. That's actually kind of right, because when you think about it, even being a content creator, I mean, you're always kind of doing something that's for yourself or putting stuff out there to impress or inspire other people, which I guess is kind of psychological. But where Devin's from is a really small town, kind of close to obviously where I'm from in Connecticut, but a similar kind of concept behind small town, like not a lot of people out there getting out of their comfort zone. It's just a very kind of traditional New England town. So you're obviously different in the sense that what you want to do and pursue with your life is quite different than most people your age. So how did you overcome that, especially being from that kind of town? And what advice would you have for other young adults out there who might be struggling with pursuing something, whether their family doesn't support it or where they're from isn't, you know, doesn't really support that kind of lifestyle?
Oh yeah, definitely. It was kind of funny because when me and Brad, and for those who don't know who Brad is, that's my co-host on my podcast, we actually had Alexa on and we drove down to her town and everything. And it was a great time. It was funny because me and Brad are also from two different towns, two different like small areas similar to yours. And we all kind of got that same, you know, upbringing and that same type of reaction from different people around because of who we were and like what we were trying to do. But so where I'm from is this area that you might hear a lot about in the news. It's the birthplace of basketball, for one. But it also has like a really negative stereotype behind it. It's seen as like one of the worst places in New England. I air quoted that, but no one could see that because you're listening. And it was like voted one of the top three worst places to live on certain reports. And this is all things that like we constantly hear about being from this part of this country and this, especially this city. And, you know, I really enjoy this area. I really love where I'm from because it taught me a lot about not only to be comfortable with myself, but it also taught me about like, if I want something, I'm going to go get it. And that might seem kind of, you know, cliche, or it might be kind of weird hearing that from a place that not a lot of people really come from. But when I'm growing up, I saw how people saw their environment. People thought because they're already given this area code that the outside people who weren't from here already presumed they were going to fail. And I've had multiple people on my own podcast talk about this topic as well. But the idea behind why I wrote the book and like all this, the things that I'm doing is to show that, you know, you don't have to be old. You don't have to, you know, wait to get more knowledge. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to be from a certain area. You don't have to, you know, have this much money. You don't have to, you know, have your parents help you. You don't have to have whatever the factors may be for you to actually go out there and actually get it. It's going to be super uncomfortable in the beginning. And you just have to really get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because at the end of it all, like what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to be a voice for reason. I'm trying to show people that, you know, anything can happen and anything will happen given the proper time and the, you know, work that you put into it. But the thing that really got me when I was growing up was this idea that people always talk about that, you know, dream big, shoot for the stars, you know, when we're growing up. And then we get to a point where we're old enough to actually, you know, go through with these things. And then people start saying that it's not realistic enough because we get caught in this idea that, you know, we have to have a stable income. We have to work so many hours at this certain job and then retire and, you know, tap into our 401k and make sure we have health insurance and dental and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, that's like the progression of life. And, you know, that's not for me, though. I really do enjoy going to school and I enjoy learning. I mean, I don't enjoy tests, but I don't think anybody else does as well. But I wanted to try to break that idea and break that mold and show people that, you know, you don't have to be a certain age to write a book. I released my first one before I was 21, and I actually have a new one coming out on my 24th birthday next year. And I just want to try to show and hopefully inspire other people to live outside of the boundaries, live outside of their comfort zone. And, you know, be fearless, like you always say.
Yeah, I love what you said about the get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because especially on the topic of college, I think that's what so many young people struggle with, is wanting to do something unique, wanting to have some type of side hustle, whatever. But most people are too scared to do it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll be the first one to admit. So I went to a community college and it's 5 minutes away from my house, and I would drive there, go to class and drive home and that kind of stuff. And then I got my first real taste away from home on a college campus when I went to UMass Amherst. And I'll be the first one to say that was not for me. I was in such a bad place. My anxiety was through the roof. There were so many people. I tried to like join a frat, and then I stopped joining because I realized that wasn't for me and I need to focus on other things. And then I didn't really have any friends while I was there, and everything was just, you name it, like it happened. It was just a really bad place for me. And I realized that I went to this college for all the wrong reasons. I graduated with an associate's degree. So I was like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I got this. I could just go have fun now. And then I was like, well, I still got to get a bachelor's degree. Yeah, but I would neglect my studies and my work and all that kind of stuff just to, you know, go have fun on the Friday, Saturday nights. And I didn't really put it into focus of why I was actually doing what I was doing. And it was like a really rude awakening, because this is the first time that I was away from home, and I was pretty terrified and petrified of the environment that I was in. I did feel prepared. Like, my mom prepared me enough to go away, but it was the idea of actually being there and, you know, trying to make new friends after you've had friends your entire life from the area that like you're from, and you get put into this D1 college that's huge and you don't know anybody, and you're just kind of like, you know, nervous to go to dinner by yourself because you're going to be eating alone in the giant cafeteria with everybody else around you. And you're not talking to anybody because you don't have any friends. And it was just I was at such a like a wild place, and I just never want to go back there. But it taught me a lot. And it taught me to, you know, everything is on you. Everything will always be on you. If you want friends, you have to go out and get them. No one's going to come up to you at, you know, your dinner table when they see you eating alone and be like, hey, you want to hang out? I mean, maybe a couple of people will, like, eventually, but that never happened to me.
Well, I didn't go to college, so I feel like, is there a community, a sense of community then when you're in college, or no?
Yeah, there is, but I didn't join anything. There's a whole bunch of clubs, there's sports teams and all this kind of stuff, and the building that I lived in actually wasn't like for transfer students at all. It was for sports teams. So we had like the soccer players, the track team, and like the swimmers all in my dorm. And I they all hung out with each other because they all knew each other. So I didn't really hang out with anybody in the halls because they didn't want to get to know me because they were like pretty good with,
so with like a hierarchy.
Their friends. Yeah. It was like cliques pretty much. And like, I never really experienced cliques in my high school because my high school was so small that everybody kind of like hung out with each other and they knew everybody. And so when I got to this area, I was like really, really taken back because I didn't know what it would be like because I just kind of assumed that, you know, people kind of like opened themselves up and, you know, really like wanted everybody to be inclusive, but that wasn't the case, at least in my experience at UMass. Westfield was completely different, and I am forever grateful to all my friends at Westfield State. I still have friends at UMass, and I'm grateful for them as well.
So, well, two questions. So what's the point of college if you're going and you can't make any friends? Like, why is it created in a position where if you're in like a community college versus a bigger, more mainstream college that you're going to make more friends or you might not make more friends? I mean, how would you even decide what college to go to?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, for me, I'm a really shy person, and that's kind of, you know, ironic considering all the things that I do and, you know, always doing the podcast and just trying to be like in this public eye. And I'm super shy and super like introverted when it comes to meeting new people and like talking to people. I have no idea why that is. And maybe somebody somewhere will eventually tell me. But for right now, that was my biggest problem when I was at, you know, UMass, for example, was just trying to put myself out there to be in a position where I can make new people. And I never did that. And I like self-sabotaged everything I tried to do. Like I joined a frat to try to have that sense of like friendship, but I was looking for the sense of friendship in all the wrong places. And it wasn't until like the last couple of weeks of my year at UMass that I actually made friends who like I actually still talk to. And these were like musicians and rappers and photographers and, you know, videographers. They were all the creative people that I just kind of stumbled into and found. And those were like really good friends of mine. And I still have really good friends in the frat because we talk all the time and that kind of thing. And I'm always grateful for them. And I'm grateful for the creative people that I found as well. But it was really hard for me just to put myself out there. And I feel like the reason why I'm saying that is I think when we first go to college, like freshman year, or maybe you're a transfer student, you find out that, you know, you left your high school and maybe some of you had the same friends up until, you know, high school. And now you're going to a different part of the country, or you're still in the same part, but you're going to a different school that everybody else is not going to. So it's only you, and now you have to make new friends and find new people to hang out with. And that's super hard because now you have to put yourself out there, and, you know, maybe some people will be friends with you and maybe some won't. And it's really hard to try to find those people that you click, that you share interests with and all that kind of thing.
Gosh, it just feels like there's so much pressure. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there was a lot of pressure. And then on top of that, you know, you got to get good grades, you got to get, you know, study and all that kind of stuff. But the real thing that really, like, I don't want to say crippled me, but kind of held me back was being, you know, that outverted, what's the word I'm looking for? I just sound kind of illiterate right now.
No, you don't.
I had to like put myself out there, and that was something that was like super shy and super nervous like to do.
Yeah.
That's what like really made or break me. And at UMass that broke me like 100%.
So let's back up a bit and talk about that in between high school to college phase, because whether you're in high school and you're deciding whether to go to college or you're contemplating a gap year, if I had been in college, that's what I would have done. I would have taken a gap year. So you didn't take one, correct?
No, I just went right into it. And I really wish I did take a gap year.
And why? Why do you wish you had taken a gap year?
Because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I left. So I went to this high school in Springfield. It's this charter school, and they push everybody to college, to apply to community colleges, you know, apply to all these colleges to go there, because not only does it make the school look good, but it also makes, you know, the environment look good. Like it's a high necessity for learning. And we have so many people being accepted into colleges that it just makes everything look good. So the education level there is higher than some of the other schools in the city. But when I just dove right into the community college, I had no idea what I wanted. I feel like I was too immature to try to figure out a major that I wanted. And I was at a point in my life where I felt lost. And directionally, I had no idea what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be, or you know, what it is I felt passionate about. And so community college gave me that kind of safe net of, you know, I can explore all these different options. And then when that like ended and I went to UMass, that safe net wasn't there anymore. And that's why it resulted in the way that it did, because I was still that same person, but carrying over to a different environment. But when we're like applying for colleges, or we're trying to figure out, you know, are we going to go to a community college or are we going to take a gap year? I think it's really important for people to, you know, really have that conversation with themselves of, What do I really want out of life? Well, what is it I want to do? Am I going to be in business? Do I want to be a doctor? Do I want to be a lawyer? Do I want to do something because I'm passionate about it, like being a teacher? Or am I just trying to get in for like the money? Because if you get in for the money, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be happy about what you're doing. So it's really important for people to have those conversations with themselves and with their family, because there's going to come a point where it's going to hit you. And then when it hits you, you're not going to know what to do.
Well, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, because if you're in college though, or you're in high school, there's a stigma that you should know what to do, or you should have an idea of what to do, but most people don't. So it's kind of difficult, right? To say like, you know, figure out what you want to do, but how do young people find out what they want to do? They're expected to go to college to find out what they want to do, but then some people don't go to college, or some people can't afford college. And then how are they supposed to know what they want to do?
Exactly. I read somewhere, and don't quote me, but I read somewhere that the average college student changes their major between 3 to 5 times over the course of their college career. Now think about that. You're only in college for, let's say the average person's in college for 4 years, but you're changing it at a maximum of 5 times. That's kind of insane, because that means you're going in multiple different directions trying to figure out what it is that you want to study. And if you get to your last year or whatever, and you're like, well, I don't want to do zoology anymore, I actually want to do chemistry. Mm-hmm. And then so everything that you've already like went through was kind of like a waste. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was talking to somebody earlier who, I don't know, I feel like I talk to people all the time who studied something and then they don't even go on to do that for a career. And it's kind of a waste of money, but it's like this really difficult thing where what are people supposed to do? I don't know. I go back and forth, and I always say, I think you should go to college. It's very unique that I didn't go, but I don't advise people to not go. But something in this, like this influencer entrepreneur world now has created this culture where people are like, screw it, I'm not going to go to college and I'm going to be an entrepreneur. But like most entrepreneurs went to college and either like dropped out or at least got the experience in college.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think college is really, really important. And it's kind of funny because going through college, I've kept saying how I hated college. But looking back, it's been a really, really pivotal part of my life. And, you know, shout out to you for putting me in your blog earlier, because I'm going to say the exact same thing that I said then was, you know, college teaches us a lot of things. It teaches us knowledge-based material. But it teaches us who we are. And above all else, it teaches us who we strive to be. And without college, or without this experience of going to multiple different universities through almost 5 years, I've finally figured out that, you know, I was never really ready to do this, because we live in a culture right now where people are like, you got to decide now what you want to be, how you're going to do it, and then that's what you're going to do. And, you know, when you're leaving high school, it doesn't work like that, because first of all, you're excited because you're done with high school, and then you're super confused as to what you want to do because there's so many things. And from those many things, you have interests in almost all of those, if not, you know, most of them. And from that, you enjoy, you know, learning about animals, but you like psychology, but you want to study biology because you have some passion about DNA and I can't even speak. Wow. And, you know, you're just kind of interested in everything, but then you like chemistry as well. And it becomes that idea of like, what am I going to do with my life? Like, why am I really here? And that's the reason why I wish I took a gap year, because I never knew that answer. I never knew what did I want to be and what type of, you know, not just impact, but like, what do I feel passionate about that I can not only make money from, but I enjoy doing above all.
Agreed. That's what everyone's thinking about, is what can they do to that they love and also to make money. But I mean, again, it's really not that easy sometimes. I think, do you agree that maybe social media has created this culture where people want it overnight, and if they don't get it overnight, they're like, this isn't worth it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Earlier today, I saw somebody that said he's only been at this music stuff for, I don't know, maybe a couple of years or whatever. And he's like, should I give up on this? And it's the idea of, no, you shouldn't give up on it. And it's not always about the money. It's about the passion. Do you enjoy doing it? Yeah. Okay. So you could do it as a side hustle on top of whatever else you normally do. And the culture that we live in an Instagram, you know, Twitter friendly, everything now. And if we don't have like immediate satisfaction behind what we get, if we don't get so many likes or, you know, so many reposts, so many retweets, if we don't get everything back, we don't feel as though what we're doing is important, or we don't feel as though, you know, what we strive to want or what we want to happen will ever happen.
Which is so frustrating to me, because I think so many people would be more like, would find that passion sooner if it wasn't for the internet and this stuff overnight. But so looking back, is there anything you would have changed in between high school and college that you would have done differently that you'd advise people to do before they think about going into college?
Yeah, I would have had that conversation with myself earlier. And I think part of it was like maturity level, but I think most of it was just me being anxious and trying to put it off until like I really had to deal with it. I feel like people should really get involved with their school, whether it's in high school, middle school, college, because through that you find different avenues of things that you enjoy that you may have never thought you would have enjoyed if it wasn't for this one thing. And through that, you also make new friends, and new friends bring about new experiences. And it also gives you a chance to dive into different things that you never would have thought could happen if it wasn't for these people.
I agree. Most people go to college to make connections, to make those friends that you wouldn't make outside. But then again, is it worth it for the money, you think, for those connections?
I can't answer. Let me put it this way. If you feel that these certain connections in this certain field paid off because you got that job, then it's 100% worth it. But if you're going to school because you're told to go to school without any idea of what you want to do, maybe you should rethink about the idea of going there right now. I'm not saying like ever. What I'm saying is that maybe you need to have that conversation of what it is that I want to do. Because, yeah, you could go on Twitter and see so-and-so blow up overnight because of, you know, this one song they put out. But the chances of that actually happening are slim if you haven't put the work in. There's a sense of reality, and then there's a sense of, you know, being hopeful that comes with it. If we're all just going to school just to go to school, just so we could say we go to school, then there's no real point in going to school, because when we're there, we're spending all this money to try to learn things that we couldn't have learned anywhere else. And if we're not enjoying what we're learning, then it's just a waste of time and a waste of a lot of money, because I know people that are coming out that are owing houses.
Wow. And oh my gosh. Yeah. That's insane. depending on where you go.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that comes down to state school, private school, like out of state, private school, in-state school, out of state. Like there's so many different factors.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if you had the money, like, would you have gone to say NYU or one of those like really like kind of bougie schools that are super expensive, or no?
Well, so after I graduated community college, I actually got accepted into University of Arizona and Arizona State University. And I fell in love with Arizona, and because I went there on vacation one time for like over a week and a half. And then I toured these colleges while I was there, and I really felt I was really at peace and I was super comfortable with this and all that. And then they accepted me right off the bat. Like I knew they would, because I was out of state, and that's like 30,000-40,000 a year from each for each school. And so the idea was I really wanted to go to University of Arizona and go there and like study biology or something like that. And that was like a 50,000 or 45 to like 50,000 a year. And I was going to do it for like 3 years. So that's well over a house. That's about 150,000 in debt for just a degree that I could have went to a state school for about maybe 15,000 to study.
Yeah, that's what I feel like is my biggest concern about college, is the financial aspect of it. And also, there's another side that's like, when I applied, it's kind of in a sense to me, they make it so unfair. Like, why do some people get scholarships and some people can't? Like, why could I get a scholarship just for being Jewish, where I'm like not even school smart, but yet I'd get that just for that reason?
I that's above my pay grade.
Yeah.
I have no idea about that one. I wish I knew. I applied to 12 universities at the end of college.
Wow.
And I only got into one of them. And that one I got into was Roger Williams in Bristol, Rhode Island. And it was too expensive for me to go, so I didn't end up going.
Yeah. I know Roger Williams. I have a friend who went there, but even, even applying to colleges is expensive. In the blog post I put up today, I talked about that too. I mean, I remember I had friends whose, you know, parents were obviously paying for them, but you know, 10 or 15 applications they put in. And I remember asking my mom, like, Mom, I need to put more in. I need to put more applications in. And my mom was like, I can't afford to do it.
Yeah. If I remember right, it was like
75.
Yeah. Something like that for just one application fee. And I was pretty lucky because the high school I went to like helped out with application fees. So I was super like excited about that. That's a reason why I got so many. But I was also applying to schools that, you know, I did a lot of extracurriculars in high school. I brought back a high school sports team, the golf team. I, you know, was in Model Congress, which is like debate team. I like was really active in my high school, you know, extracurriculars. But my grades weren't really there. I was only pretty much like a C student, maybe C, B. And I was applying to places like Drexel, like Tulane, yeah. You know, these really prestigious universities. I even threw one to Harvard just to say I applied to Harvard. And like, we all know how that one turned out. And I applied to Roger Williams. Arizona was after college. Just all over the place. Boston College. I got rejected from UMass Amherst my first time around, actually. And those are just some of the schools that I applied to. And I was shooting for the idea that I could get in there because, you know, my grades were, you know, all right, but my extracurriculars were amazing. And even that wasn't enough. I set myself up for failure in that regard.
I don't agree with that. I mean, there's not enough knowledge out there or help for people to know about all these different obstacles. I mean, even in college, they're not teaching you things like how to pay your taxes or like really kind of how to properly apply to college. But the rejection aspect of it, I mean, that's crushing.
Oh, yeah. I still remember like in my first book, my really rough copy, my rough draft is I wrote out the college rejection thing because I still remember it. It's always the dear so-and-so. This year they, you know, they had an overwhelming amount of applicants this semester, this year, the most in school history. And at this time they can't offer me a space because of the amount of people that have applied, but they hope to hear from me, you know, soon and, you know, keep going on with my future endeavors or something similar like that.
I think when I applied to NYU, I think they literally emailed me back and just, they say it on, like they said it on your email, you didn't get in, which is, I mean, the worst thing ever, because most people are not willing to get that acceptance letter and be like, screw it, I'm just going to proceed with my company, because most people like at that age don't have a company like I did. So I'm lucky I had that. But if I didn't have that, I mean, that would have, I feel like that would have mentally killed me.
Oh yeah. It made me feel like I'm not good enough to go to this university.
Is there a way that you think that they could let you down easier? Is that even a practical thing to like let somebody down easier or no?
I'm still trying to figure that one out, but I don't know. At this point, they could have been like, hey, like maybe it could be more personalized, like the letter of rejection. Be like, hey, like, you know, you're doing great with your extracurriculars, but those grades, yeah. Those grades need to improve just a little bit. And then once you get them to that mark, apply again and we'll take another look at you.
And you completely, it's completely forgotten about how much effort you put into those acceptance letters. Because from what I remember, don't you have to individualize every acceptance letter? The letter you send out to get into the college.
Oh, like your, yeah, I think so.
Whatever that, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember. It's been so long.
I know, I feel so old, both of us, like talking about this topic. But so my last question, I guess, is I have a few more questions left. But I mean, I think we're on a good track and have had a really open conversation about the topic of college. But is there anything that you would have done differently in college? Like now that you're there, and you've gone through it and you've changed college a separate times, whether it has to do with your major, whether it has to do with how much or how little you networked, something that yeah. maybe people should know.
Yeah, definitely. I wish, you know, I feel like I'm a very confident person right now. I mean, in 3 hours, I turned 23, which is kind of crazy, but this confidence that I have right now, I wish I had when I was, you know, leaving high school and then leaving like the community college, because if I did, I actually would have went into, you know, majors that made me feel happy for the reason why I'm taking it. I feel like a lot of people say they want to do art or, you know, music or photography or videography or graphic design, and then the people that they tell it to look down upon them because they feel as though they won't make enough money, they won't make a stable living in it. And that's something that really frightened me when I was you know, going to school, was to tell people, like, for example, if I wanted to be an art major, hey, I want to be an art major, all right, like, what are you going to do with it? I don't know, but I really enjoy being an art major right now. And I'm going to see what happens like in the future with it. I think a lot of people are really quick to ask, all right, what do you want to do? Well, what's going to happen next? Because that goes back into the whole idea of like the environment that we live in, this Twitter, you know, Instagram, if you want something up there, uploads in 3 seconds. People say that they're a psychology major. All right. The next question I always get out is, can you read my mind? No, I can't. The next question after that is, what are you going to do with it? And I have no idea. I just started today deciding if I really wanted to go to grad school, because you can't really make any type of money in psychology without a graduate degree. But at the same time, I don't really enjoy, I enjoy learning, but I don't know what it is I want to do with it. And like, I'm the first one to admit that, you know, I'm older for like the college aspect of like right after high school. And I have no idea what it is I want to do. And I'm not afraid to say that anymore, because it always used to be, you know, at family functions or when you're just meeting people, it always used to be, what is it that I want to do with this? And I always used to give somebody that look in their face and be like, you know what, I'm going to go to grad school and then maybe become a therapist or, you know, go to become a marketing executive. and help market, you know, businesses. It used to be, depending on my mood, I used to change those stories because I was too afraid to tell people, like, the truth is I have no idea what I want to do with this. And I'm actually just buying time to try to figure it out.
Well, one of the reasons I really respect you is obviously your confidence. And you guys don't know this, but this kid is so freakishly persistent. You've got just this inner confidence that a lot of people your age don't have. But more importantly, you're so persistent and incredibly driven, and it's really, really infectious. So you're kind of one of those type A people that will really be successful in whatever they decide to do. But I truly appreciate your honesty with saying that you're in college and you're still figuring it out, because even successful entrepreneurs, like, everyone's still figuring it out. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, it is. And I just want to back up and say thank you for saying that. At times I feel like I'm a little too persistent where it becomes annoying, but I really do appreciate that. You know, we're always figuring things out in life. You know, my mom, she's older and, well, I mean, older than me. Yeah, she's my mom. But, you know, she keeps saying all the time how she's still trying to figure things out. There is no age limit of, like, we wake up, we're 35 and we're like, yeah, hey, we got it all figured out. No, we don't. That will never happen. Like, my birthday is November on Tuesday, and, you know, I have no idea what it is I still want to do. My dad has no idea what it is he wants to do. My friend's father doesn't know what he wants to do. People, if they tell you they know what they want to do and they have it all figured out, they really don't. Because that's growth. That's gradual and continual growth. Yeah. It's just being there. And, you know, yeah, we have this, but without these struggles and this idea of, like, what it is we're doing and who we want to be, you know, you never get to that age limit of you're 55 and then you figure it out, because that'll never happen. And for some people, they find it out earlier in life, that, like, they're on the right track, and some people find it out later.
Some people find it out at whatever time. And comparing yourself to people who find it out or don't compare, like, it doesn't help.
No, and it doesn't benefit anybody, because they already figured it out, and you're trying to compare yourself to someone who's not like you in the slightest, won't help you out. In fact, it'll just set you back.
I agree. I really agree. And when it comes to being too persistent, you guys know that I am like, be persistent. So there's never anything you can do that's like too persistent at all. But what's your like long-term goal? Where would you eventually like to see yourself? Because you're still figuring it out. Like, I'm still figuring it out. Just because people are getting famous overnight, trust me, I know half of them, they're still figuring it out. Like, nobody's really figured their shit out. And I hate that there's this stigma that everyone should have their stuff figured out because of the internet. And I can tell you first off that that's not how you want to be. I did a talk on Saturday at UCLA, and one of the people who I was interviewing on the panel, he asked a question to like 50 kids in the audience, who here wants to be famous? 99% of them raised their hands. And he asked a second question, okay, who wants to be successful? And a quarter of them raised their hands. And that was this really interesting moment for me where I was like, what is success? Because my opinion of success is so different than a lot of people's, because I don't attribute overnight viral fame to success. So I think that your definition, Defin, as well, of success would be much more similar to mine than, you know, potentially some of these 11, 12-year-olds who are looking up to like the Logan Pauls of the world and how they got so famous overnight.
Yeah. When you said Logan Paul, I rolled my eyes, but that's beside the point. My definition of success is, it's not a monetary based, it's more knowledge based. And it's the idea of, like you said, where do I want to see myself? Well, it's kind of simple. I want to be the person that I never had. I want to be that mentor. I want to be that person that really helps people, you know, come from, we can't decide who we are growing up. We can't decide our parents. We can't decide our environment. And I want to be that person that really helps people, put them on the right path, that really, you know, not necessarily college guidance counselor or anything like that, but more so as just a good person, just really trying to help people figure out, like, life. And I don't really think there's a word for that, but that's why I'm trying to do the podcast, do the books, do, you know, interviews, do everything like this, because it puts me into a position where if people do feel lost, then they can at least have somebody to talk to. And I know I'm only 23, and there's so much more knowledge for me to learn and for so much more life skills, but that's down the line. I'm just trying to show people that the idea is never to be famous. The idea is to enjoy what you're doing and get paid for it. And if that means being famous, and then okay, I could care less. It's more of the idea of me being comfortable and happily helping people the way that, you know, people deserve to be helped. Because there's this Will Smith quote. He said, if you're not doing something every single day to better somebody else's life, then you're not doing your job correctly. And I just feel like that's what we're meant here to do. That's why we're here. We're here to try to make somebody else's life better, because doing selfless acts, doing random acts of kindness, that sort of thing, they really make you feel good, but you also did them for a real reason. You did them out of a genuine feeling in your heart, and to brighten up somebody's day, you know, to surprise somebody with something they've always wanted. The look on their face is priceless, and that will mean more to me than like anything else ever will.
Agreed. And filling that void, especially for guys. I mean, I'm trying to fill this void for girls, but for guys out there, I mean, I don't even, that could be a whole nother episode. Like what guy, who young men even look up to nowadays. I don't even want to know. It's different than obviously who girls are looking up to. But I think somebody like you and any of you guys listening who are just truly passionate and are doing this and want to be involved in this world for the right reasons, then you will be successful regardless of what you do.
Oh yeah, 100%. And the thing about success is everybody's definition of success is, you know, different, because everybody has different morals and upbringings and reasons behind why they want to be successful. I could care less if I make $40,000 a year or if I make $400,000 a year. I mean, yeah, like that'd be nice. But if it doesn't, you know, reassure why I'm doing what I'm doing, then there is no purpose behind why I make the money I do.
Agreed.
I could just go sit at a job and just, you know, hate life. But that's beside the point.
I know. I mean, money is what everyone follows, and I get that. But if you're doing something you love and you're right and you find a way to get paid for it, then that's all that matters.
Oh, definitely. No one ever owes anybody anything. You kind of have to go out there and get it.
Agreed. Well, Devin, we're coming up on an hour. So where can everyone find you on social media or your book? Do the expected plug here with all your stuff.
Oh yeah, you know, I got this. So my Instagram, you can find me on social media. I'm really active on Twitter and Instagram under the @name I am D Bush, IAMDBUSH. You can find my podcast page, This Is It, under Instagram at @thisisit_podcast. We actually do our podcast in seasons. Season 2, we're actually going out to LA. And, you know, we're going to meet up with a whole bunch of cool influencers, you know, artists, musicians. We even got another author, just a whole bunch of cool things planned this year. Maybe we'll see Alexa back on it. Who knows?
Yeah, you guys might, or maybe I'll have both of you guys on it when you're both out in LA.
Yeah, who knows? You just got to stay tuned for that. My book you can find on Amazon, or, you know, I give it away for free because it's not about the money. It's about the message. So if you want a copy, slide into the DMs and just say, hey, I heard you on the podcast. Do you mind if I get a copy of your book? And I will send it to you. But my book is on Amazon on paperback, so you could hold it for $3.99. And for Kindle, which is on your phone, ebook for 99 cents. But it's called You Owe You, The Start of Something. By Devin Bushy. And that's about it. Oh, SoundCloud for the podcast is still under This Is It _podcast. And yeah, that's all my plugs I got.
Well, you are one dope dude. And for anyone who's needing a little bit of inspiration or looking for somebody to look up to, you are a perfect person to look up to. So thank you so much for being on and talking specifically about this topic, because I think that you have the mindset of an entrepreneur, but you're obviously in college and think it's important. So you've given so many great ideas. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, and thank you for those kind words. I'm just trying to, you know, make the world a better place, you know, if that means through the book or through the podcast or through a conversation. I'll do whatever it takes.
Well, I believe in you, and you are going to go far no matter what you decide to do. I can tell. But you guys, that's all I have. We're almost at 50 episodes. I'm really pumped about it. Make sure to listen to Lindsay Sterling as well this Friday on Fearless Every Day. Thank you so much for all your ongoing love and support about This Is Life Unfiltered. I am trying out this company that like puts one ad, and I think I screwed them all up in the podcast just to see if it works. So I don't know if you guys like hate hearing any ads. I'm so bad at tech, I don't even know if I properly inserted them. Please be honest with me. Please give me your feedback. Write a review on the podcast store. We're now on Spotify too. So you can write a review. You can tell me who you want to hear. And if you are a young adult who's mission and voice you want to be recognized, please get in touch, whether that's emailing me at Disney, whether that's emailing me personally, DMing me. I'd love to hear your story. So that's all I have for you guys this week. Thanks again for tuning in and for your support, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.